Welcome to Eurofins ViraCore Clinical Diagnostics Podcast, where I'll be sharing up-to-date scientific advances, key diagnostic testing, and our most recent innovations.
Welcome to our podcast. Today we're discussing chimeric antigen receptor, or CAR T-cell therapy, along with the EXPECT anti-CD19 FMC63 CAR T assay. Chimeric antigen receptor, or CAR T therapy, has transformed hematological cancer treatment with six therapies now approved by the FDA. Four of these therapies, TISCell, AXA-cell, Brexucel, and Lysocell, each target the CD19 marker using a single chain variable fragment derived from the heavy and light chain variable regions and the monoclonal antibody FMC63. The successes of chimeric antigen receptor cell therapy involving patients with pre-B-cell acute lymphoblastic leukemia, ALL, or B-cell lymphomas have revolutionized anti-cancer therapies, thereby providing a potentially curative option for patients who are refractory to standard treatment therapies. The FDA approval of the anti-CD19 CAR T-cell products for both ALL and certain types of B-cell lymphomas were the first approved gene therapies in the United States. CAR T-cell therapy has been engineered to recognize the CD19 cell surface molecule of malignant B-cells, showing a remarkable efficacy in patients with B-cell acute lymphoblastic leukemias. There have been several published studies showing that long-term remission in patients with hematological malignancies is associated with expansion and sustained persistence of the CAR T-cells. In the clinical oncology setting, CAR T-cell expansion and persistence correlates with response and attaining remission in patients treated with immunotherapies known as CAR T. It's important to establish reliable methods of tracking CAR T cell numbers, not only in the estimation of effectiveness of the therapy, but also in terms to safely evaluate post-infusion monitoring. Growing experience has shown that these agents have revealed that remission may be brief in substantial numbers of patients owing to poor CAR T persistence and or cancer cell resistance resulting from antigen loss or modulation. This is also known as escape. The EXPECT anti-CD19 FMC63 expansion and persistence assay is a monitoring tool designed to assist clinicians in the evaluation and validation of the efficacy of anti-CD19 CAR T therapies. For hematology oncology patients, this assay provides early, actionable, and longitudinal data, which is very important because it may provide information on the expansion and persistence of those genetically modified T cells, which are often used as therapeutic treatment for pre-B-cell acute lymphoblastic leukemia or B-cell lymphomas. Today, we welcome to the podcast James Grantham, who is a senior scientist at Eurofins ViraCore, and Jamie Nutt, who is the manager of the R&D team at Eurofins ViraCore. I'm going to ask him to talk about the development of the EXPECT anti-CD19 FMC63 CAR T assay. So James or Jamie, could you tell us a little bit about the process, the thought process behind developing this assay? Maybe add in some details on the functionality of it. Jamie, would you like to go first?
Sure. Thank you, Kevin. Monitoring CAR T-cell persistence can provide important insight into therapeutic efficacy and durability of response, potential for relapse, and uncontrolled proliferation. Currently, there are no direct CAR T-cell monitoring options commercially available, with B-cell aplasia typically used as a surrogate marker for CD19-directed CAR T-cell efficacy. The assay that James will describe in a little more detail demonstrates excellent sensitivity, specificity, precision, and accuracy, providing a reliable means of monitoring anti-CD19 CAR T-cell persistence.
Thanks, Jamie. That was an excellent overview. James, tell us a little bit about the science behind the EXPECT anti-CD19 FMC63 T-cell assay.
Absolutely. Thanks, Kevin and Jamie. So when we went into this, we decided to initially zero in on the FMC63 single chain variable fragment, because it's used in all of the currently FDA approved CD19 directed CAR T cell therapies. So wanted to make the biggest impact that we could with the first test that we brought to market. Initially, we began by designing multiple qPCR primers and probes toward the variable heavy and light regions of that FMC63 gene, so we could screen and identify those with the highest amplification efficiency and sensitivity. We then took the most promising candidates and multiplexed those with different single copy reference genes, which enables us to normalize those CAR vector copy data to copies per microgram. And that's been shown in the literature to be a really good marker of expansion and persistence. You know, peak concentration and area under the curve, when viewed in those terms, is highly predictive of of efficacy and disease progression, as well as side effects. So basically identified the best combination that we could, ended up with multiplexing the best performing target with an RNase-P assay. We also use in some of our other assays here at ViroCore, and took that combination, optimized that as best as we could to basically, you know, really get the assay that would give us the best sensitivity, the best precision and accuracy, just the most robust results, and really just wanted to make sure that we had the best performing assay out there. You know, qPCR is well established, commonly used in clinical trials. You know, there's a lot of data out there supporting this method for this type of testing. What we really wanted was to make sure that our qPCR assay had sensitivity very, very close to that of the digital PCR format. One of the main benefits of this format is that we're able to offer very quick turnaround times. So especially during the expansion phase, you know, the engraftment and expansion, where a clinician may be interested in really monitoring in as close to real time as possible, you know, say over a matter of weeks in the initial, say, month or so of treatment, to make sure that those cells are really expanding and propagating well. We wanted a test that would report results, you know, in a matter of 1 or 2 days, as opposed to perhaps 4 or 5 days. You know, we really worked hard to get an assay that would perform very, very at a high level in that sense. And we think that we really achieved on that front. You know, obviously with this type of test, when you're looking for that type of sensitivity, it's also incredibly important that it is highly specific. Obviously, we're looking for a very small subpopulation of CAR T cells in a larger background of white blood cells. Any cross reactivity at all with genomic, you know, normal, healthy human genomic DNA is really going to present a problem in interpreting those results.
Did you find any cross reactivity in the design and development of this assay?
Not at all, no. And that can be a bit of a challenge with these types of tests. You know, most of the elements in the CAR vector are naturally occurring, you know, genes. That is one reason why we, in this case, really zeroed in on the single chain variable fragment. That being said, that single chain variable fragment is derived from a mouse monoclonal antibody, which detects and binds CD19. And in fact, when we initially designed, we ended up testing well over 20 designs, you know, again, because we wanted to make sure that we really landed on the best possible assay that we could. You know, we indeed did find a couple that did exhibit some cross-reactivity. Nothing that matched up exactly, you know, mm-hmm. Nothing that would be particularly sensitive if you were trying to pick up that specific human sequence, but enough to where, you know, it really depends on the level of leukocytes present. And in some cases, there were some candidates that we designed that did pick up very, very delayed signal. And so obviously we did not use those assays. So again, it's a very minor level of cross-reactivity, but what you really need is absolutely no cross-reactivity to be able to detect those really small vector copy numbers, you know, to get that sensitivity.
So it sounds like you, through multiple trial and error and revision and perfecting, maybe perfecting is too strong of a word, but you were able to hone in on the specific target of that mouse monoclonal antibody to identify what's going to give the sensitivity and specificity for this assay the greatest detectability in the patient receiving a CAR T therapy.
Yes, absolutely. And you know, that's an approach we commonly take. I mean, of course, we use in silico tools to help aid us in that effort, but you never really know exactly what you're going to get until you try it. And so we always want to make sure that we have multiple options and we can really empirically determine what is the best option. You know, it depends on a number of variables, but you know, when you require absolute sensitivity and you really also require an extremely high sensitivity in a quantitative sense, any lack of sensitivity that might require some sort of cutoff being established or something like that can really kill that sensitivity. So we wanted to make sure that we could go as low as we possibly could, no matter what sample we get, no matter what therapies these patients have been exposed to, what else may be going on, that it's going to perform the same way all the time, and it's going to perform very well. That's, you know, one of the things that we're looking at when we develop and then validate the assay. You know, and we validate according to very high standards. Obviously, we're a CAP-approved laboratory. We also validate all of our assays by default according to New York State Department of Health standards, which are among the most rigorous.
Okay, very good. Yeah. So you've teased us with a few words there: sensitivity, specificity, level of detection, level of quantitation. Tell us a little bit more how this assay performs with those various markers or various milestones.
Sure.
And we've designed this assay to meet, to give the best performance to the clinicians who are, you know, have patients undergoing an immunotherapy through CAR-T.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. So, you know, one of the things we look at is dilutional linearity. We want to make sure that the assay is very accurate quantitatively across a wide dynamic range. We're really concerned with the low end, but we want to make sure, you know, this assay is one that, you know, that we believe really has the most clinical value when used longitudinally. When you kind of use it to serially monitor a patient over the course of treatment to really assess the expansion and persistence characteristics, assessing shortly after infusion, you know, you want to see that cell population is expanding. You ideally want to see a nice peak. Of course, they're going to drop off over time and then, you know, expand, but throughout the course of treatment, you're obviously going to see, you know, the concentration span or range, and you mm-hmm. want to make sure that you're just as accurate at the low end as you are at that peak concentration. So when we look at linearity and establish our dynamic range, we make sure that it has a very wide dynamic range. For anyone out there who's actually interested in some numbers, you know, we investigated that over the full dynamic range, which we went up to the E8 copies per mil of whole blood concentration, which is, I would say, likely much higher than you would actually see, in the clinical setting. We got an R-squared value of 0.9998 for full process samples. So that's quite good mm-hmm. in our industry. So we had a slope of 1.0041 and an intercept of 0.0507. The bottom line is, you know, you want that R-squared to be as close to one as possible. We were right there. A slope of one would be perfect. Mm-hmm. And obviously, you know, we were out to a thousandth of a decimal place, very, very, very close to that.
Yeah.
And the intercept was very close to zero as well, which again, so very, very close to the theoretical limit of what you would consider a perfectly performing assay in terms of analytical performance, right. Just in terms of that linearity and dynamic range.
And speaking of linearity, you know, you said E to the eighth, or some folks call it 10 to the eighth mm-hmm. out there. It's because when CAR T cells are infused, you expect that expansion, and we're not, you know, they're not infusing 100 cells or 1,000 cells, you know, you expect mm-hmm. those cells to multiply, divide, expand, getting into the 10,000s, 100,000s, millions mm-hmm. of numbers. So that's where it's really important to have that high value to see exactly how much those cells are expanding out there. Then, as you said, they drop off. Expect to see those numbers drop off. But, you know, that's where the lower end of the assay comes in to make sure we can monitor and detect those assays as they're becoming exhausted in therapy, which they're designed to do.
Yeah, I mean, that certainly happens. You know, of course, the exact kinetics of that expansion and persistence are going to vary between different treatments. Different treatments have, just looking at the treatments that are currently approved on the market, you know, they do vary. You know, some have a pretty high peak concentration. They expand very rapidly. And they also tend to drop off pretty rapidly, but some may not expand to that great of an extent, maybe a bit lower, but then they, as they drop off, they still persist at a pretty high level and stick around for much longer. So, you know, obviously in some cases, you expect most of that work, you know, is being done pretty early in treatment, whereas some really stick around and kind of act as sentinels to ensure that the cancer doesn't come back.
Right.
So, you know, so that is important. Of course, beyond just linearity, we look at the accuracy of the assay. We look at the precision of the assay. You know, in terms of accuracy and precision, really in validation, the assay exceeded our expectations. You know, we set acceptance criteria. Those are sort of set at the worst level of performance that we would find acceptable with respect to a test that produces clinically meaningful results. Really, we didn't come anywhere close to that. And also, I'm not sure if we touched on this, but we're reporting these results in copies per microgram of genomic DNA. And we think that's the best approach to doing this. They ranged from about 2% to 16% across all ranges.
Pretty tight.
So really pretty tight. So we were really happy to see that. For limited detection, which again, I mean, obviously, if your precision and accuracy aren't good, then, you know, that's a problem regardless. But when we really, zero in on that low level, and there we test a lot of replicates at a lot of dilution levels with a very small dilution factor to use both statistical and empirical means of establishing that sensitivity, our LOD95, which is the concentration at which you expect 95% of your samples to be detected, was 1.86 copies per microgram. Then when we look at the LLOQ, which not only are 95% of samples expected to be positive, but they are also within an acceptable range of total analytical error, which incorporates accuracy and precision, we had 2.072 copies per microgram. So we're talking very low here. You know, we're in the range of about 7-8 copies per reaction. In this case, we think that performs quite favorably to most qPCR assays out there on the market. Everything that we've looked at so far has been positive. We've gotten great curves and good agreement so far. So we're happy with what we've seen.
That's good
so far.
So you'd said earlier that, you know, being able to get the assay results quickly back to the clinicians is very important. So what's the target turnaround time for once Eurofins Viracor receives a sample before a result is generated and released out to that clinician?
We are targeting 24-hour turnaround time for all these samples. As we mentioned, during that expansion phase, those are results that you need quickly. You know, we don't want a physician receiving a sample when they are preparing to draw the next one. You know, we really want them to have real-time results. And due to the workflow of this test, 24 hours is very attainable.
That's good. I mean, you know, as we say, you know, part of Eurofins Viracor mission statement is it's helping, providing clinicians with the information to help the patients get better. And, you know, it's important to be able to hit those turnaround times so they can see what's going on with that patient and make the appropriate adjustments or therapy changes as needed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Which is very good. Yeah. Now, you had talked a little bit about different accrediting agencies. You know, this is a laboratory-developed test or an LDT.
Correct.
But, Jamie, can you give us an idea of how this fits in, how an LDT, you know, is observed, regulated, and like that within the clinical testing market?
Sure. Thanks, Kevin. You know, quality of each assay we develop is of our utmost importance. We understand that, you know, every assay, every sample, there's a patient behind that sample. So we take recommended guidelines from New York State Department of Health, College of American Pathologists, or CAP, and Clinical Laboratory Standards Institute, or CLSI, guidelines into consideration for all of our validations. We found that we put a lot of care into each approach of the validation to test and challenge our assays with these guidelines. So in the end, we have a really high quality, high performing test.
Very good. I appreciate both you gentlemen spending some time with us today to talk about chimeric antigen receptors or CAR T testing. Any final words between Jamie or James that you'd like to add?
Just that it's exciting to be into the CAR T area. I think it has a lot of future promise to a lot of new therapies coming out, and you know, kind of excited to be in the market to developing tests to support that those therapies.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just to echo what Jimmy said, I mean, it's really an exciting time, you know, with this type of testing being available. You know, this has been worked on for years, and finally we're at a place where we've got four B-ALL, lymphoma, leukemia, B-cell hematological malignancies. We've also got a couple therapies approved for multiple myeloma, and there are countless other therapies in development. Just really excited to see what the future holds here. And now that we're in this space, I'm excited to see, you know, where we can go from here to help these patients.
Very good. Yeah. So it sounds like, you know, this is where we are today, but as therapy for different hematological lymphomas, leukemias, blood cancers are developed, we're going to be right there exploring the best way to help the clinicians with monitoring those therapies so they can help those patients get better.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and that's something that we're keeping a very close eye on and wanting to make sure that we're there to help as this field evolves and progresses, which it absolutely will.
Very good. Well, thank you, gentlemen, for your time today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For more information and available resources on the Expect Anti-CD19 FMC63 CAR-T assay, visit eurofins-viracor.com or visit the links within this podcast summary.
Make sure to subscribe to this podcast and follow us on social media to stay up to date on all the latest information. If you want to help spread the word, please give us a 5-star review and tell your friends and colleagues to subscribe too. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, Podbean, and more. With over 30 years of specialized expertise in infectious disease, immunology, and allergy testing for immunocompromised and critical patients, Eurofins Viracor is committed to helping medical professionals, transplant teams, and reference labs get results faster when it matters most. Viracor is passionate about delivering value to our clients by providing timely, actionable information, never losing sight of the connection between the testing we perform and the patients you serve.